Sorry, November 14th. Yeah, so just one point, I just wanted to, one thing we didn't take up yesterday, just, it says Vesam Tam, it said it means Sam Tam, right? Sam Tam is the Vareila. It says Sam Tam, that's where it's learning it from, right? Sam Tam, Rashi said it means it's not Chaser Shum Hatzala. Right? It does, you don't need anything else. So I say on basically it means is that Torah is the tool of being the Yetzer Hara. And you don't need anything else. It's not, there's no, like, it's like Baal Tosef, you know? Like, don't think that beyond following the system of Torah and its values, you need something else, like some religious spirit or something like that. There's no, sometimes if you follow Torah, that's it. That is the perfect blueprint. It will work, and there's nothing else that's necessary. I mean, that's what I think. And that's the perfection of Torah, is it's designed in a very intricate way that it really, it will help a person in every area of his life. And in general, so generally speaking, you don't need anything else. And again, in a particular case, a guy could have a problem and he needs, you know, like a chulei nefesh, where he may need something, you know, sort of intervention. But in general, this is the ultimate thing, which is which will protect you against the Yetzer. Okay, so let's go further. So we have here, so we'll take the first one, says like this, Tana Rabbanan. The kosh yitzhara shafila yotzer kara. Yitzhara is evil, such that even its creator called it evil. Shnei kaitz le'avad ra min uraf. Because the inclination of man is ra min uraf. Right, ra from its youth. So what's his creator calling it ra? Normally, someone else would call something bad, but the creator of the thing won't call it bad. I mean, that's pretty extreme. Okay, so saying it's so bad, the yitzhara, that even Hashem calls it ra. As he says, that the inclination of man is ra from his youth. Okay, so the question we ask is, what do you mean? Normally, the reason why a creator wouldn't call something bad is because he has some emotional attachment. I mean, if it's bad, it's bad. Who cares if you're the creator or if you're someone else? Bad is bad. You know? So, but that's just an emotional thing. It's a bias that a creator of something has. Right? You're making an invention, so other people will criticize it, but the guy who made it isn't going to criticize it because he has stock in it. But it seems that that doesn't make sense, like, relative to God. I mean, if it's bad, it's bad. When even God calls it bad, it's bad. It's bad. Or God's going to lie because he created it. Okay, so he's asking is, if it's ra, then why did God create it? Right? I mean, it's our kind of question. I mean, why did God create things is always a hard, open, hard question to answer. But I hear the point. I mean, I don't know if we ultimately answer that question. But, I mean, it sounds funny. I mean, why did God create something which he's saying is ra? Sounds a little bit, sounds funny. I mean, is it an imperfection in the Bria?
No.
Okay, that's a question. I was saying, well, why is it called Ra in the first place? It depends. If you channel it to the bad, it's bad. If you channel it for the good, it's good. You use your instincts for approval, then it's good. So why is it Ra altogether? For you, why is Hashem calling it Ra? Why does anyone call it Ra? I think to answer that last question, obvious question, that it means the Yetzer really is pushing for Ra. It's driving at and presenting you with a certain picture of reality that follow these desires and you'll be happy and this is it. It's presenting you with an image of reality which is not true. Now, it's true and it's pushing for those desires in a certain, you know, intrinsically in its own right, it's pushing for so far to remove you from reality. Now, it's true, you could take it and use the, like, it contains with it certain energies and is driving you to have sort of to satisfy itself, you know, and you could relate to it rationally and control it, and then you could use it for the tov. But in its underlying nature, intrinsically, it's really leading. It's leading you to ra. You know what I mean? Because what it desires is ra. It's desiring the unfettered satisfaction of instincts, which is ra. Now, you could take it and limit it and then use its energies to be able to involve yourself in directing you towards Puravu, let's say. But that's already you changing it, you utilizing it for a good purpose. But intrinsically, its nature, and the way you measure its nature is if you just leave it to its own accord. If you leave it in its own, in terms of itself, it's really pushing for something which is removal from reality. That's so that's what it means. Ra means in terms of man, it's ra because it means it leads man towards ra. Its nature is it leads man towards ra. So that makes sense why a person would call it Yetzer, right? It means if you had to judge it, if you look at it in yourself, you have to think about it as ra, because then it's important for a person to realize that. don't think that it's helping you. It's important to realize this is a part of your nature which is leading you towards Ra. To be aware of that. But now, what is it about? Now back to the Yetzer problem, right? Now back to the question about the Yetzer. Yetzer Yetzer Kora, or Hashem calling it Ra. What's it adding? Afilu Yetzer Kora, what does it mean?
Okay, so what I'm saying here is that, I think this is like a line line approach, Michael, you would say like this, is that, what does it mean Yetzer Hara? It means it leads man towards bad, right? But would you say that, so to speak, from God's perspective, is it bad? I mean, you say God created the world, and man has free will, and man gets to choose whatever he wants to do. Now, it happens to me, man is going to be harmed if he follows the Yetzer Hara, and this man is going to be cut off, and he's going to lose, he's going to lose the good. And if he follows the good, then he's going to have the good. Right? So insofar as a given man is concerned, it's bad for him. But insofar as God is concerned, what's the difference? I mean, God created the world, so there's two options. So, I mean, it's Ra. It is. That's God's will. That man has free will. And man gets to choose one or the other. So you can't say, that's the way Hashem made the world. So what do you say, that's bad? They say, it seems like God... So then God gave him the option. I mean, so apparently that is God's will. So the second the guy chooses the Ra, you can't say he's going against God's will or he's doing something bad insofar as God is concerned. It harms him. But in terms of the Bria, that is, he's carrying out the way the Bria was set up, that a guy has free will and he gets to choose. So you wouldn't think that God would call it Ra, or it would be Ra from God's perspective. It's just Ra from the man's perspective who loses out from the good because of it. You know what I mean? You with me? So why is it Yotzer Kol Ra? So what does it mean Yotzer Kol Ra? So really shouldn't be. It shouldn't be called Ra. From God's perspective, it shouldn't be called Ra. From God's perspective, it should just be called whatever. It is. That's the Bria. Vayelkim Ki Tov. Right? The Bria was good. The Bria wasn't Ra. Part of the Bria. The Bria is good. Right. It's part of the perfect Bria. And that's what Yotzer is saying. The Bria is perfect. You can't say God made a mistake right. And created a bad Bria. So that's God's will and the Bria that there's free will. So that's not Ra. Why is that Ra? I could see man calling it Ra, okay.
Right.
But I think it's saying is that even though it's true that it's God's will that man has free will, it's at the same time. Interestingly, it's not contradictory. At the same time, it's God's will that man chooses the good. That you see that the way God set up the world, in the like you see as they set up the Mitzvahs and the Torah. It's God's will that the world will have knowledge of God and will freely choose the good. So it's God's will that man is free, but the way the world is set up is that man should be able to freely choose the good and not to choose the Ra. So it's when a person chooses the Ra, not only is he harming himself, the God's will in the Bria is being circumvented. And you're not fulfilling it. It's actually it's like Chil Hashem, for instance. Chil Hashem doesn't harm God, but it's not the way the Bria was set up. And that's what you see is that whereas it says by Noach or whatever, saying is that by Noach, it's a Yitzchak or the Ram and Urav. It means that when man followed the Ra, you see basically there was a marvel, and basically God it's by Noach Hashem al Ra. So it means God basically said that Bria didn't work out, and he just knocked them all out, and then he set it up again. Right, with change, whatever, however that worked out. But essentially, so you see that when the Bria, essentially, when mankind chose the Ra, it wasn't just bad for them, but the Bria's objective wasn't being realized, and therefore God had to wipe them all out and start again. So you see, in terms of the, even though it's man's choice, and it's God's will that man does have a choice, there still is a Seder Olam, which God set up, and a plan that man really... Malar's Das Hashem. That's what we're smiled for in the Tefillos. I mean, that was the plan in the creation. So that's saying even it's not only Ra for man, but it's Ra in terms of the Bria itself. And that's what I'm saying. I feel Yotzer Korah means even from God's perspective, it's Ra. I mean, but you can't say that you're harming God because as God set it up, that man is free. Is free about it. It's free, but still there is the plan in the Bria that man chooses freely the good. Okay, you with me?
Next. Okay, next. So we have Amar Yitzchak. Yitzur shel adam mischadesh lav b'chol yom. So a person's Yitzur renews itself upon him every day. Shneimar rak rak kol hayom. It's evil all the day. Rashi, Kro Yisero, Kol Hayom, any Kol Hayom, all day. V'lamdenu she'kol she'os Hayom ra'asom eschadashas. Means every hour of the day, the evil becomes renewed. So what's pshat here? Let me just read one with the next thing. Okay, the next thing is, because it sounds like similar. It sounds similar, but a little different. Okay, let's leave out the Makesh Hamisa, but Misgaber Alav B'chol Yom strengthens on him every day. So you have Mischadesh Alav B'chol Yom and Misgaber Alav B'chol Yom. Is that the same thing? Are those different things? And if they're different, what are the two things?
So I was saying, like Aris thing, man, that the Mischadesh Alav means it's like new. Sounds like it's new. Misgaber is strong, strength, you know, it's a strong against you. Mischadesh Alav seems like it's renewed. So it seems to me it's like it's telling you is that if you beat your Yetzirah in one area, don't think that's it, it's free sailing. Because the Yetzirah has many different ways of getting you. And it can get you, if you beat it in one area, then it's going to come back at you in a different thing. You know, the energies are, you know, can take on many forms. And just because you manage to conquer one area, this underlying instinctual nature is going to express itself in many different forms. And it's mischadesh. So every you beat one area, you have to have another area. There's always new challenges. You rise to a height, and every person is different. Nisyonos. There's no free sailing. There's no point where a guy becomes now mitzadik and there's nothing else to worry to think about. And a guy has intrinsically has an instinctual nature, and you beat one thing, and then you have a best struggle in a different area. And it's kol yom, it's the mischadesh. I mean, there's always different forms which the instincts present themselves in. Okay, that's the Mischadesh Alav. Misgaber Alav seems to be is a different point. Is in terms of the Misgaber, I don't think Misgaber means it gets stronger and stronger. Misgaber Alav, I think, means it strengthens itself against you. Every single day, it puts up a strong front against you. Which means is don't think because you beat a taiva, so now and you manage to control yourself one time. So now that's it, you beat it. And it's not going to reassert its strength. Now, its strength, it comes back. You decide to not follow the taiva one day, then the energy is still there. The next day, the energy renews. In other words, that's the miskaber, not only it becomes stronger, but the energy renews itself. Not necessarily in different forms. The schadesh is all different forms, you know. But miskaber means the strength. It renews its strength. And just because you beat it doesn't mean it's not going to renew its strength. The nature of the Yetzer is that. Now, it's true there's an idea of perfection, but it's pointing at just the nature of the Yetzer. Don't think that when you beat it now... Don't think that when you beat it now, then it's all, you know, it's all gone, it's weakened, you managed to, you know, to get it under your control, and now all is good. It's not true. It's just because you controlled it now, it's going to reassert itself tomorrow or the next day, and it's constantly reasserting itself. You don't dry up the energy source of Yetzer, as I was saying. The energy source is constantly renewed, and you can manage to divert yourself away from your taivas for a little bit, and then you're learning. But then the next day you're gonna stop learning, and then it's gonna strengthen again, and you're gonna have to always have to be struggling with it. It's not something. There's no time where a person removes the Yetzer. But I think the two results are similar. It's just one of them is saying is. In this, like in one area, it's going to always reassert itself. The other thing is saying it also takes on many forms. So you have to be aware of the. Basically, and both of them are pointing out, don't feel happy or feel content when you beat your Yetzirah one time. Because it's saying is it's going to come back again, and also it's going to take on, even if you manage to beat an area, to so to speak, conquer an area and to really gain perfection in an area, it's going to come out a new form. And there's all kinds of forms. There's multifarious forms such that the Yetzirah can take on. There are two points. They're related, but they're two different facets of it.
Then it says like this. U'mivakesh hamiso. It says, this is what we call you, u'mivakesh hamiso. And it desires to kill you. Shenemar tzofe rosha letzadik u'mivakesh lahamiso. The Russia is seeking out, looking at the tzaddik and desires to kill him. So what does this mean?
What does it mean it's trying to kill you? What does that mean it's trying to kill you? Can kill you? Really? Okay, yeah, I was thinking a lot like Ben's approach to that. You may think, a person may rationalize and say, okay, so I'll give him to my taiva. Big deal. I mean, I'll do this small thing. You know, is it such a big deal? I mean, that's a kind of rationalization. It's one-to-one thing. It's not, I'm not killing somebody. I'm not doing it, you know. It's really so bad, you know. So it's saying is pointing out to you, don't underestimate what the Yetzirah wants. I mean, the Yetzirah really is looking for a certain reality or a certain type of a life. It's looking for basically a life of destruction of Chachma, totally just a life of satisfying their instincts. That's what who the opponent is. The Yetzirah is not, it wants you totally to be removed from Chachma and from restraint, and it's looking for total satisfaction. And total instinctual satisfaction with no restraint whatsoever, and that is basically your spiritual death. It's really looking to kill you. It doesn't know on death means you a guy who's dead. A guy who's dead is a guy who's like a Rosh. It says even when they're alive, they're considered dead. Chazal say, right? So it means that a guy who's living without any chachma, just going after his instincts totally, is like he's not a human being. He's not living like a human being. That's spiritually he's dead. He's not really. He's like an animal. So the thing is, that's what your Yetzirah is looking for. I mean, your Yetzirah it's not a compromised enemy. It's not like looking, I just want you to do this one thing. It doesn't, that's not what it's looking for. That's you're justifying it that way. But really, by doing a chet, you're giving in to an enemy which is really, it's going for your death. It's really going, it's a fight to the death. You know what I mean? And it's really, that's the enemy that you're giving in to. Mavagish Amisu means that's, just no, don't think. Even though you're saying, I'll just do this one thing, you're really throwing yourself into the hands of the part of your nature which is looking for your downfall, your total downfall. You know, so don't take it lightly to give into it. Giving into it is putting yourself into it's not just a one time thing. You're catering to that part of your personality, and that part of your personality is a brutal enemy. You know, so it's not that it doesn't just want one thing. You're just rationalizing and saying just one thing. It really wants everything, you know. So be aware of that. You know, be aware of the nature of it. You have to be aware of who you're fighting against. If you're fighting against the guy who's looking just to give you a little hurt, a little pain. It's one thing. If you're looking for, you're fighting against the guy who's willing to kill you, and you have to, you know, you have to really know that when you go into that battle, you have to be careful, you know. Like in any area, in war, you know, you have to know what's the enemy looking to do. The enemy looking just to take your money, or is the enemy looking to torture you? Is the enemy looking to kill you? This enemy is really looking to kill you. So you gotta be very careful when you engage in battle. Okay? That's what you're saying, right? Okay, good. Then it says like this. V'ilmolei HaKadosh Baruch Hu Ozro. It's not for the fact that Hashem helps you. Ein yachala. It's, you don't have the strength for it, or you're not able to, it's not possible for you. Okay, Shenamar. Elokim lo yazvenu biyado. Hashem will not leave you in its hand. Okay, Hashem will not leave you in its hand. Okay, so what does that mean? What does it mean? Where is Hashem helping you? What does that mean? What's it referring to? Yeah, then it says Torah. Doesn't it? Torah is helping you. That's not Torah is helping you. I mean, Hashem. Hashem gave you the Torah, but what does it mean? That means Hashem helps you. I mean, it sounds like it's a more like active kind of thing. Yes, I think I heard Rabbi talk about this once. So they're saying is that the Yetzirah, if you really would take on the Yetzirah with no assistance, you wouldn't be able to do it. Like if you had, so to speak, the perfect taiva, you just wouldn't be able to control yourself. And that's good. That's the Chazal with Rameyer and Rabbi Akiva, with the Satan who disguised himself as a woman across the river, and they were, you know, they basically were going to they went to get her. And if not, it says Hashem basically stopped them from being nechshav, from succumbing. But essentially saying is, if there were the perfect situation with nothing wrong in the world, nothing emotionally wrong with it, or nothing in the world wrong with it, then basically even the greatest man would succumb. But it's saying is that it's the way God set up the world is such that, and that's what means Hashem helps you, is that I mean, it could be through Ashkacha Klalis, or maybe Ashkacha Pratis also. I'm not sure, you know, it could be. But let's start with Ashkacha Klalis, is that the way the world is set up is that there's no such thing as the perfect type. Perfect type doesn't exist. There's always something. There's always people around. There's certain psychological factors in your nature, which is, there's always conflict. There's conflict. There's, you know, whatever the case may be. It's there's the woman's husband. There's she looks a little bit funny. Something's wrong with her. There's the nature of the desires are such is that there's always conflict. There's always difficulties, frustrations. There's never the perfect situation in this world. Is anything you go through? I mean, try to set up a perfect vacation. Something always goes wrong. You set up anything. There's no such thing as the perfect taiva. You know, and if there were such a thing, it's saying is that then you wouldn't be able to control yourself. But it's Chesed Hashem, and Chesed Hashem is an Ozer, that he doesn't let that situation come into being. I mean, it could be, it means, even in Hashgacha Pratis, I mean, it could be that's Hashgacha. Hashgacha is a person will, you know, that God won't, that sounds like a saying, that God won't let that situation happen. I mean, however it is, however God worked it out, either in the Bria, I mean, in general, the Bria is designed in a way that just, that's just the way it is. There's just too many factors, too many things that could discourage you from, you know, that could discourage you or be conflict in pursuing it, or the perfect fantasy, even psychologically. I mean, you're really looking for a satisfaction that doesn't really exist. So there's no what exactly is that goal is elusive. You're never going to get what you're looking for. So whatever it is, that's what God set up. God's chesed is that He set up a situation that you never have to take it on full force, but you always have an assistant. It doesn't mean it helps you. He helps you. God's helping you means He helps you by, so to speak, watering down the taiva, by offsetting it with certain conflicts, certain resistances towards satisfying taiva. It's not the perfect situation, and that you could handle. If you're faced with the non-perfect situation, that then you can use your bechira and be able to control it. But in the full form, the yetzer hara, it's you can't do it. I mean, I guess it's also part of the same thing of realizing the enemy you're against. His enemy that you're against is really Vakish HaMisao, that's the first thing. It's looking to get you, to kill you. And also, it's really much, much stronger than you are. It's much, much stronger. And you could only beat it because of Hashgach Hashem. Because of Ozer. Because God's an Ozer. That's. I mean, when I heard Rabbi talk about this, he said that's what Shad Ozer and Melch Ozer, Moshe, right, you know, and right, Tefillah. Yeah. That's where it came out, maybe an Ozer. Melch Ozer and Tefillah types, maybe.
Yeah.
Well, that's just it. Yeah. I mean, it seems that's what it is. At least that's Chazal. It's a humbling thought. I mean, it is a humbling thought. It's when a person has to realize the nature of the bad enemy. Now, don't think. A person likes to feel like essentially he's very strong. And he has abilities. He's always weak and he's strong, and it's just a matter of, you know, it's because he's behaving, you know. And as long as he just kind of stays on a good course, you have to realize it's very difficult. That's why you have to avoid situations. Right? That's the main thing. You have to try to avoid the close to perfect situation. You can't put yourself in a situation because you have to realize that this force is very strong. And if you get into the wrong situation, then you're going to lose. You know, that's like Ichad. You know, Ichad. You can't put yourself in a situation. Don't think you get into a situation and then control yourself. I mean, it's true, the perfect situation doesn't exist, but essentially, a very large part of a person's being able to beat his yetzer is to avoid the situations of chayit, because like that's the yichud. It's basically you're in the situation of chayit. It's almost impossible, very very difficult to pull away from it. The best way to avoid the chayit is to not get into the situation in the first place. Right. I mean, that's the yichud. That is the yichud. I mean, that's it's basically it's chazaka is that when you're in that situation, you're gonna lose. And the chait is really getting into that situation more than, I mean, of course, the chait once you're in that situation, but that's, I mean, Yosef Atzad that controlled himself in the situation, you know. But your average person, if you're going to get into that situation and it's enough factors, again, usually even a guy who's in a situation, it's not the perfect situation, so that's why he controls himself. But if there were enough factors in line with it, and then basically he'd lose. That's what it's illustrating with the Rikiva, the Chazal, with the Rikiva, it's and the condition. I mean, saying is that you get the Satan, that's what Rikiva was mislotes, he made fun of the Rivera, but the Satan who was showing him is that if the Satan takes on its full form, forget about it. Even as great a person as Rikiva, it's not happening. But that's the positive, it's saying, Kim Loyos Ben Abiyad, though. It's the saying, that's Shkachas Hashem, God won't leave you in its hand. In the full force, God won't leave you in its hand. That's a pasuk. So however God does it, whether he does it through the Hashgacha Pratis, Hashgacha Kolos, I mean, I don't know how exactly, you know. Definitely in the most part, Hashgacha Kolos, but it could be in a particular situation also. But I guess also a person should realize, it's also a good hint, is to, a person should be able to, practically speaking, a person should be able to use those there. Whereas when you're in a situation and you realize that all of a sudden, wait, there's some frustration, something annoying about the situation,
you should jump on it and realize that is Lashkarach Hashem, which is set up in a way that these things, which are difficult, these difficulties about the situation, will be able to knock you out of it. You know what I mean? Because if there is a frustration, don't just run over the frustration and pretend it doesn't exist and try to move forward, you know? But on the contrary, take the frustration and realize that is the divine will. It's God set up in the Bria that you're going to have those things. And those things are supposed to, you know, remind you. So that's, you know what I mean? It's a tool at that moment. It's a good tool is to use those properly. I mean, that's a gift from God that you have such a thing. So use it properly. Okay, these are important stuff. I mean, it's worth to think into these things, you know? Okay, I mean, every person has to think about different, you know, in their own situations. Okay, Tana de Rishma. Bini. Okay, this is the last one, right? Bini, my son. If this minuval greets you, mashchel beis madrash. Bring it to the beis madrash. In Evan, who? If he's a rock, he'll melt. In Barzil, who? But if he's metal, or iron, whatever, so whatever metal Barzil is, mispotzets, it'll shatter, right? It'll expand and shatter. Shnemar, hello, kod devarai ka'esh neom Hashem. Gepatesh, yefotzets sela. In Evan, who nimuach? So it's like a hammer which causes the rock. That's the part you're selling, is that it will break it. That's all shatter. But in Evan Unimuach, Shemar, called some of the Chula Mayim, Omer Evan Sachku Mayim. That it's like the Torah is like water, and the rocks become like smashed by, melted, I guess, by the water. Yeah, I mean, Tosa gets into the fact that it doesn't work out exactly, because it sounds like the Sela is the thing which gets smashed. Tosa gets into that. But let's leave that go. Okay, let's not get into that exactly. But what's the question? What's the idea here? What's the idea here? First of all, it's interesting he calls it minuval. So why is it the minuval? Why is it calling it that? Yeah, it's pretty minuval. Why the nickname? And then, what does it mean? Mashchel beis medrash? What's that? How does that work? I mean, it seems like it works. And it seems like it's two different things. If it's Evan, it'll do one thing, it'll melt it. And if it's rock, then, you know, if it's Barzil, then it'll smash it. What is it? Sounds like it's more severe. It sounds like Barzil sounds like it's stronger and it won't be able to be melted, so then you gotta smash it, shatter it somehow. It seems that way. I mean, just some shot. I mean, it's hard to know. Or maybe it's just two different things. I mean, it's hard to know exactly. What's the scenario he's describing of Pago Vacham and Nuvalzah, and then how does Beis Medrash solve the problem? I'll tell you, I heard something from Rebbe about this. I'm not sure what I'm saying is my own or what's the Rebbe, But basically, I think simple pshat is what's the minuval? What's it referring to? So simple pshat is referring to the sexual instinct. Okay, I mean, it sounds like that. Minuval is like it's talking. It's you know, it seems to be referring to not just the taiva, but a specific form of taiva, which is if you're stricken with a desire for some sexual satisfaction. So what's saying is what you should do is go learn, go to the base medrash. So that's interesting. It doesn't say learn. It says go to the base medrash. That's sure. Interesting. That's interesting. It's all right. I'm not sure if we'll get to it. Maybe we'll see. But what's the idea? How does that work? I mean, it seems to be saying is if you're in the situation where basically you're under the strong power of the Yetzer Hara pulling for satisfaction, then the best method to beat it is to go to the base medrash. Why? I mean, I guess you're not going to involve yourself in the taiva and beis medrash, but for that matter, you can go anywhere in public, you know. But how does that work? So, well, there are two ways it seems like it could work. I mean, one way you mentioned first, is that the energy could be redirected. I mean, I think this is the thing I had Rabbi talking about, is that then Torah holds it, that is psychologically, the energy, which is, it's like the same energy source, and you could sublimate the energy, which is driving for satisfaction in a sexual way, you could redirect the energy towards Chachma, and that will, the energy will just dissipate. I mean, as the energy could be redirected towards Chachma, and that itself is of a great, satisfies man's energies, and it could really, man could direct a lot of energy towards there, and therefore that will cause it, that's not to say that's what causes it to melt. As it will melt, it means the energy is just like disappear. You know what I mean? They dissipate. There's energy is dissipate because they're redirected towards Chachma. So Chachma, see, the problem is when a person has a strong, the Pagacham and Uvalzeh is a very strong desire. strong, there's a lot of energy. But the energy, that's to say, is that the way man is constructed, the way the chachma is very, takes up a lot of energy. And the involvement in chachma could really, could satisfy his energies in a way that it will dissipate. You know, the energy will dissipate. So that's one way. That's the idea that the rock will melt. But there are certain times the taiva is very strong. At Barzel, it's like, maybe it's like fixated or whatever. It's, it can't, like you can't pull free of the thing. I mean, and it can't be redirected. Sometimes it's a very strong attachment to the desire, and you really, you can't pull away. Okay, it can be redirected. But it could be the other thing is that then it will shatter it. So it could be shattering. There's another way that Torah works is that the way the taiva works is that it convinces you, it's not just that you want this thing, but it convinces you that this thing is good for you. And this thing is going to really give you happiness, or is going to give you the good. That's the taiva, it's not just saying, satisfy me, it's saying, this is really the good. Do this, and I'll show you, this is, you're really going to be happy. So what Torah does is chachma basically brings him into reality, and it breaks down that fantasy that's really going to give him the good. You know what I mean, it's through chachma and through Torah you get in line with the true idea of reality, and then you could break away from the fantasy which your taiva tells you, promises you satisfaction, promises you this is really the good. Chachma shatters it. I mean, it shatters it. It's like a person's fantasy is shattered. You know what I mean? Basically shatters the thing. Because it means it basically, it doesn't, it's a different method, but it basically undermines the whole thing and shows how it's corrupt and it's wrong and it's really going to lead you to your destruction. And then basically, even if the guy energy is still there, basically it shows it's going to kill you. And it's, and now therefore it brings you back to reality. So I was saying there are two ways in which Torah could work. I mean, I don't know, different could be different situations, different, you know, different methods, different, you know, I don't know if they're, which one works in different situations, I mean, but basically one way is that it redirects your energies, and the energies melt away, and they dissipate. And the other way is that it basically, philosophically speaking, it undermines the position and shatters the position of the instincts, which is that this is really the gut. You know, chachma basically shows you it's not the gun. So saying either way, that's the saying. Torah is basically in any type of situation. That's the mishkeh, the base measures, is the way to go. Now, why does he say? It could be why he says menuvel is that this. I'm just saying is another point is like back to the other point is that person doesn't underestimates the desire, underestimates the taiva. But it could be calling him menuvel is basically like calling a spade. You know, saying is that. This desire is looking for the nivel. Nivel is like disgust. It's looking for the full expression of the sexual satisfaction. It's not. It wants to show you that because a person, you know, again, a person tries to look at these things. It's not so bad. It doesn't really, you know, like kind of the thing is like vakish hamiso. Calling him a nivel is bring to your mind's eye. You have to realize that this is really harmful and is leading you down a gross path, you know, a path which is really philosophically minimal. You know, it could be as part of his giving his mussar. He's telling his son, part of your thing is that you build up the taiva as being a great thing. So it's calling it a minimal. He's trying to show him, don't think so. On the contrary, this thing is really a lowly thing, and don't in the middle of the thing you build up this fancy. Like, this is great. So he's calling, in his mussar, telling him what to do, he's also pointing out, part of the thing is you overestimate the thing. And you look at it as being some sort of idealized thing. That's good. And what about the base measures? Can we answer that? Why are you going to the base measures? Sure, I mean, that's a good point. As Michael said, doesn't seem you just learn. I mean, you got to pull yourself away. It seems like you got to pull yourself away, because it's you learn, you get distracted, and the next second you're there again. I mean, right. It seems like you have to really mashkele base medrash. It's like base medrash is like you have to be rekoveya your energies in Torah. I mean, you need a kviyas in Torah. This is not a time you can learn when your energies aren't involved, when aren't yet engaged. Then you can just sit down and learn. But when the manuvel is there, if you just try to learn, you're gonna put down the sefer pretty quickly. You know, it's not, it's rough. I mean, you gotta really, and the base medrash is like a kviyas, it's a makam of Torah. You have to really, mashchayu also, it's like a strong term. It demands a strong move of the person to pull himself away and you know. And if you don't make a strong move, you're basically gonna slip right back, you know. Sounds chill. Because in a base medrash is like a makam of Torah, and there are people learning Torah, and it's a full, it's like, psychologically, you're drawn into the Torah in base medrash. You sit down and learn. If you just sit down back in your study and open up a book, then your energies are going to wander back to the thing. So you have to really, like, change your surroundings and bring yourself into a situation where really it's just conducive to learn. You have to use emotional factors, which are, you know, there's an emotion of a base medrash. It's a place. It's a makam Torah. You have to really remove your, change your situation, because right now your energies are in the Taivas. And if you just learn, they're going to go right back to the Taivas, because it's a strong force. So you have to really pull yourself out of it and put yourself in a situation of Torah. Yeah, that's true, that's true. The Ma'aveh Sarge is the antithesis of the Taiva, the sexual. So, I mean, it's emotionally getting him in a play. There's an image. The draw, the base medrash is like the opposite, and you can't think about that on the base medrash. It's like it's the antithesis of the thing. I mean, it's true, you have to deal with emotion, because you have to have a strong, you have to build up, like what we were talking about the other day, build up a strong counter emotion. When you're under this way, you have to have a strong counter emotion. And there's a force of a base medrash. And then, see, that's necessary to break it, then the learning is going to do its job. But before you learn, you have to counter the emotion by putting in like the opposite emotion of the makom of the base medrash has certain effect on your conscience. Then the Torah, but that alone doesn't do it. Then you got to be involved in the very Torah. Then it's just a counter emotion. Then you're stuck with war. I mean, then if you don't deal with the problem through the chach, through the Torah. The Torah is what's the very Torah really is going to deal with the emotion. You know, that's just going to like hold it off. But that's what allows you to learn. Then the very Torah will be able to do it. You know. So otherwise, you just go to the base medrash, but you still have all the energy, and it's true, so you come, but the energy is still there. You have to do something about it. How are you going to beat it? But it's a necessary first step, it seems.